Book of 3 John. Let's read the entire book tonight. I know that's a tall task, but we'll try to handle it, all right? The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore are to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, received us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. In this small book, we find really four characters or groups of people mentioned. We have Gaius, whom the book is written to. We have a group of what we would call itinerant ministers, whether that be church planners, just gospel preachers or whatever, that are being cared for or being tried to be cared for in the church. And then we have Diotrephes, and then lastly we have Demetrius. We don't know a lot about any one of them, really. We don't have an extensive character study on either one of them, but we do know that three of them, or three groups of them, are spoken of very positively, and one very negatively. Apparently, the three individuals that are mentioned are members of one particular church, and others have passed through that location as they practice their itinerant ministry. Very similar to what the gentries do from Emmanuel here. They would go to church, and people would care for them as they're spreading the gospel around this particular region. It was very dangerous in this time for people to stay in a motel or something like that. It was just not a good place to keep people. And so itinerant people depended greatly on other Christians to care for them and to meet their needs, not only for a lodging for a night, but food, and many times to get them on their way, as they really apparently didn't have a whole lot of financial support from a set of churches. It is in this context that we find these people's character kind of uncovered, if you will. And from where we're going to try to take some truths tonight. Jim Elliot said the famous thing that you know, he is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. That is the exact opposite philosophy of our world today. We don't have people that are willing to be givers. We have a lot of people that are willing to be takers. It's a far cry from some of even our political figures and some of the statements that they made. In January 20th, 1961, a president made these statements. Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, in order to assure the survival and the success of liberty. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. That would not be a very popular statement within his own party today. Because most Americans today don't ask what they can give. They ask what they can take. And I'm sad to say that that's also the mentality of many people in the church. We have a group of people that have grown up in, if you will, churches. I'm not sure that you could even call them churches. They're probably more like social clubs, in which these supposed churches sent out surveys and asked, what do you want in a church? You want yoga? Well, we'll give you yoga. You want a racquetball club? We'll give you a racquetball club. You want a swimming pool? We'll give you a swimming pool. You want, what do you want? We'll give it to you. By the way, those churches are admitting today that they're miserable failures. They're not changing anyone. John McCain, who, whether you agree with his political beliefs or not, made this statement on September 4th, 2007. I fell in love with my country when I was a prisoner in someone else's. I loved it not just for the many comforts of life here. I loved it for its decency, for its faith and wisdom, justice and goodness of its people. I loved it because it was not just a place, but an idea, a cause worth fighting for. I was never the same again. I wasn't my own man anymore. I was my country's. Would to God that we had people who are willing to have this mentality. And I believe in the book of 3 John, we have some characters who had the mentality of givers. But I also think we had an individual here who had a mentality of being a taker. And so my challenge to you tonight is, be a giver, not a taker. I would love for Emmanuel Baptist Church to meet your needs. I hope as a church family we can do that. But I can tell you, if you come to church every Sunday looking for your needs to be met, rather than looking to meet needs, you're probably going to leave here deficient. But if you'll come in seeking to serve other people, God's going to meet your need as well. What a wonderful truth that is. And we can't always explain that. How can you give to God and have more than when you started? How can you do that? How can you give away money and end up with more of it? I don't understand that, but that's exactly the way God works. How can you come when you feel like you're empty and you pour yourself out to people and you leave full? But that's how it works. And we find in these few verses here some truths about these people. And so if you're taking notes tonight, just for simplicity, we're going to kind of contrast them. So we've got a little chart here. We're going to have a taker and a giver, and we're just going to walk through and see the opposite of those truths, if you will, from the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth from your word. We pray that tonight it'll be an encouragement to your dear people. And help us to be like Gaius and like Diotrephes. Like Demetrius, not Diotrephes. May we be challenged. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Number one, a taker desires to be in first place. Look at verse 9. He says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence, that's first place, among them received us not. Therefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. So here is a guy who loved to be in first place. It didn't matter what was happening in the church. He wanted to be right in the center of it. Matter of fact, he not only wanted to be right in the center of it, if he didn't like something you were doing, he not only got onto you, but he tried to throw you out of the church. I've known some people like that. I've known some people who said, I built this church with my own hands. Nobody's going to tell me what to do here. You know, I'm so grateful we don't have that mentality here. The fact is, we do have some buildings here, and someone put labor into these buildings, but they're not anyone's person's buildings. This church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter who we are, there's no one here that ought to be grabbing for first place. A number of years ago, we had a college student who came to Pastor Nine. I can't remember which one of us actually had this conversation. But he came and said, I'm looking at a couple of churches in the area. And one particular church I went to said that if I go there, that I could preach such a time. And they'd put me in charge of children's church and so forth. And so I was just wondering, What are you offering? Wow. Well, at the time, and some of you more seasoned members, do you like how I said that carefully there? Remember, we were signing up as families to clean the church. And so I said to him, there's about 5 or 6 slots on the back there that we could use someone to sign up to clean the church buildings. He didn't like that too much. He didn't choose Emmanuel. By the way, he didn't make it in Bible college either. Now, I'm not rejoicing in that, but I'm saying someone who comes in seeking to have the preeminence is not what God's looking for. Now, let's look at the contrast of that. And we find the groups of people here. Look at the laborers, for instance, those traveling itinerant people in verses 7 and 8. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. In other words, they weren't in this for the money. They didn't even have a salary. What are their names? We don't even know who these itinerant people are. We could look at all of them and the other 3 people that are mentioned here, Demetrius and Gaius, and look that they're not willing to have the preeminence. Let's look at some Bible verses here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. We'll be back to 3 John here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. This is a passage of Scripture that's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the creator of all things, verse 16 tells us. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. In other words, he is the one really in charge of the church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So if someone's going to be preeminent around Emmanuel Baptist Church, it ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ, not an individual person. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. It says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. We see that Paul sent Timothy on a number of these kind of journeys, didn't he? Sent him to the church at Thessalonica. He sent him now to the church at Philippi. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. The opposite of a taker is a giver, and they put Jesus Christ first. They're not interested in being first place themselves. They're interested in the Lord Jesus Christ being first place. And so the taker will be a type of person who would teach a Sunday school class, and it wouldn't matter if anybody ever noticed that they did. A taker would be a person who could do the same job at a church for 20 or 30 years and no one even recognized them, and it doesn't matter to them. That's what kind of person a giver is. They love for Jesus Christ to get first place. So the contrast of Diotrephes, he loved to have first place. We should have Jesus Christ as first place. And of course, the people in this passage of Scripture, I think, did do that. Number 2, a taker rejects people. Verse 10, not only did he not do things that he was supposed to do, but he rejected people who were trying to do right. This guy, he was not content just to maliciously take care of them through words, and we'll look at that in just a minute. But he forbidded them that would help. And cast them out of the church. Just kicked them out of the church. This guy was a great people person, wasn't he? He's the kind of guy you want to be around. No, he rejected people. I get concerned when people talk flippantly about losing people out of their church, for instance. That bothers me. I don't want anyone to leave Emmanuel. I don't like it when they leave for good reasons. I definitely don't like it when they leave for bad reasons. And it's not an attitude of, well, I hope the door hits them on the way out, and it's, you know, good riddance and all that. No, that ought not to be our attitude towards people. We ought to love people. And this guy, he didn't care. Long as he was first, he could get rid of anybody who stood in his way. Exactly what he would do. But the giver, they receive others. They don't reject others. They receive others. Look at verses 5 and 6. Behold, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. He says, Gaius, it's well reported how you treat people in the ministry, how people come along, the brethren, but you also treat strangers this way. A good example of what we talked about from 1 Thessalonians this morning. He loved all men, not just the brethren, but all men. And Gaius, this is well reported of, and people know how you're going to do this. And when you bring them forward on a journey, you're doing well. This is what we're supposed to be doing. I know for every difficult story that a missionary can tell about deputation and so forth, there are also some really precious stories about people who invested in their lives and ministries. And those who they could point out and say, boy, if it wasn't for this person or that person, and this person's continuously doing this for our kids, or they send this money, or they do that, or whatever it may be. What a blessing those kind of people are. And that they're givers. They receive others. And Gaius certainly was this type of person. Number three, a taker rejects others who try to minister. They don't just reject people, but they specifically reject others who try to minister. And again, he says that in verse 10. And he's forbid them that would. So he's working against people who would try to minister. So he's the kind of guy who not only doesn't want to do what Gaius is doing, but he's trying to stop Gaius from doing what Gaius wants to do. This kind of guy is incredible. And the way he carries himself. I've met people who didn't want to serve God. And not only did they not want to serve God, but they were actively campaigning at keeping other people from doing it too. We don't have time tonight to look through the Word of God about how strongly God talks about those kind of people who purposely place stumbling blocks in front of other people. But this guy, Diotrephes, is in that category. He rejects others who try to minister. But the giver has a good report with others. Look at verse 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Apparently, John had contact with Demetrius, and he said, I know this to be true personally. But he has a good report of all men and of the truth itself. He was a guy who cared about people, and specifically people who ministered. Look at Philippians chapter 2, if you would please, back to the book of Philippians chapter 2, and we'll see another example of this in the Word of God. Philippians 2, 25. He says, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministereth to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Epaphroditus had the kind of testimony that he had a good report of others. People cared about him. Paul said, when you heard that he was sick, you were brokenhearted that he was sick. And what a great testimony that this guy had among the other churches. Can you imagine how it must have been in these days to travel, to carry communication back and forth? Every note, every piece of scroll that was written to churches and how things were being done and the persecution that was taking place and so forth had to travel by road. They didn't have email and they didn't have text messages. And most of the Christians were poor, so they would not even have had an animal to ride on. Many of them would have to have walked many miles to deliver this message of the gospel. And yet the gospel was spreading rapidly. Spreading more quickly than we today who have all the technology at our hands. It was going like wildfire, and it was these type of men that were helping that on the way. Number four, a taker uses words instead of actions to prove a point. A taker uses words instead of actions to prove a point. He says here in verse 10, "Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words and not content therewith." So what are his deeds? His mouth. That's what his deeds are. All right. It's his mouth. That word prating against means to utter nonsense, to talk idly, to bring forward idle accusations, make empty charges, to accuse one falsely with malicious words. It's the kind of guy you want to make friends with, isn't it? In other words, he knew how to run his mouth. And not only did he know how to run his mouth, but he knew how to run his mouth in bold-faced lies about the people of God. And it really didn't matter to him what he said about people as long as somebody was listening to him. Now let's jump on technology again for a minute. Okay? Can I tell you, I don't have the time of day for blog posts and all these other kind of junk who do nothing but gossip about other Christians and other ministries. I don't have time for it. I don't have time for it when people admit in their magazine articles and so forth that they've never talked to a Christian brother about something, but they're going to rip him apart publicly in a magazine. You listen to me, that's ungodly. So don't send me a link, because I'm not going to listen to it. And I don't have time for it. There's plenty of other things for me to do besides listen to malicious words about other ministries. Hey, you know what? Other ministries might do things wrong. I don't give an account for any other ministry. I give an account for Emmanuel Baptist Church. That's a big enough problem for me to worry about. Not that you're a problem. I'm talking about my part of it, giving an account for it. That's a huge task for me. I don't have time to read this other junk. Well, I'll go ahead and call it that, because that's pretty much what it is. It's amazing how we can use technology that way. Don't fall into that trap. Brother Tessinier said something in a deacon's meeting the other day, even about things we forward in emails and post on Facebook without ever checking to see whether or not it's true. And the truth is, some things just don't need to be said anyway. You might be ugly, but doesn't mean I need to tell you. Some of you are not laughing because you know it's true. You're like, really? Is that what you think about me? Well, I'm not going to tell you. That's because it just says that to you, you know? The truth is, there are some things that just don't need to be said. And we don't need to say it behind our cowardly Facebook or our blog or anything else. It's the same thing as this guy was doing. And he just wanted an audience. It didn't matter who listened to him. And it didn't matter whether it was true or not. He's just going to say it. He was a taker. But a giver uses actions, then words. They use actions and then words. Look at verse 7 and 8 again. "Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles." They were givers. "We therefore are to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." We are to link up with them and help them along in the truth of the gospel. They were people who, rather than typing on a computer or sending out a letter, they just got up and went to preach the gospel. And they didn't get any money for it. They just went from place to place living by faith. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. We're seeing other New Testament examples of these truths. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. It says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." These people weren't interested in just communicating falsehood. They were interested in backing up what they were going to say about the gospel with their lives in a loving communication to other people. Number five, A taker commands their way or others will pay. A taker commands their way or others will pay. You get kicked out of the church. You'll get stopped. He wasn't just content with malicious words. No, 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 no. He's not going to receive the brethren. And he's going to cast you out if you would. Does it have to be your way? Does it always have to be your particular way? Or could it be that someone else has a great idea? Could it be that someone else has a better idea than you? The fact is, we're a team together. And you're going to see things that I would never be able to see. And I'm going to be able to see things that you would never be able to see. I watched the basketball game today, just in case you're wondering. Miami won handily. Coffee boys. by the way, they started that this morning with me, just so you'll know, okay? But I was impressed with something about the University of North Carolina. Roy Williams is a sharp coach, and he's no dummy when it comes to basketball. But they made a comment. They said, halfway through the season, North Carolina was struggling mightily. It was, I think, the day after they got blown out by Miami by 25 points, coffee boys. I'm messing with them because they messed with me this morning. But they made this statement. Roy Williams went to his coaches and said, "What's wrong? What are we doing wrong?" And they changed the way they played basketball and really are a different basketball team since that time than they were previous to that time. And I think they're probably going to go pretty deep in the play, assuming they don't have to play Miami again in the process. But anyway, they'll probably get beat this time. But I was impressed that it wasn't just about his way. Here's a high-profile, multi-million-dollar coach who was willing to say, "Hey, anybody got any ideas?" We need to have that attitude. It doesn't always have to be just our way. A giver seeks to serve others. Again, Gaius was ministering to the strangers. This would have been a difficult task for them. This would not have been something that even could have been planned, for instance. Gaius and his family may have planned a nice evening at home, and all of a sudden, opens the door. "Can I help you?" "Yeah, we're a traveling family, and we've been presenting the gospel in such and such a city, and we were wondering if there's a place we could stay tonight with you." And apparently Gaius opened his home and let them in. It would have been a financial sacrifice to feed whoever that was and to help them along their way. They were seeking to serve others. Again, a great passage, Philippians chapter 2, if you would. Philippians chapter 2. And you're familiar with these verses. Verses 3 and 4. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." We're supposed to be concentrating on the needs of other people. So let's just quickly review. A taker desires to be in first place, rejects people, rejects others who try to minister, uses words instead of actions to prove their point, and they command their way or the highway, if you will. Whereas a giver puts Jesus Christ first, receives others, has a good report with others. They minister to them. They use actions, then words. It's not that they don't have the words, but they back it up with their actions. And they seek to serve other people. We have some Bible examples beyond just what we've looked at tonight of people who were takers. Think about King Ahab. We find the story in 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 1 through 16. He goes to Naboth and asks for his vineyard. This is a king who has plenty. Naboth says, "I'm not giving you my inheritance." By the way, if you'll study the Word of God, it was actually illegal for him to give his inheritance. He would have been breaking God's commandment to do so. Well, Ahab goes home and throws a fit. And that's what he does. He He turns his head against the wall. He's not eating. And his sweet little wife comes in. Jezzy. And says, "What's wrong?" Now listen, if you don't have a sanctified imagination, it's your problem, okay? But I'm telling you, if you could hear the recording, it would be something like this. "Well, I asked him, he wouldn't give me a vineyard. Mom's not eating until he gives it to me." Like, you sure it was that way? I'm pretty sure it was. All right, I'm pretty sure it was. And Jezebel, "You're the king. Don't worry about it. We'll use whatever words we have to. Well, we'll say whatever it takes. Who cares about one of the people we're supposed to serve? Who cares if he's going to stand for what's right? We'll make up a false accusation about him and assassinate him." And that's exactly what happened. And then you can go take whatever you want. Go take possession of it. Except there was a God in heaven and a prophet who didn't forget what took place. But as far as a giver is concerned, I don't think there's a better example outside of our Lord Jesus Christ of Barnabas. What an incredible guy he was. And we talked some about this last week, how Barnabas was an encouragement to Paul. But we see that throughout the book of Acts, how he was constantly taking chances and being an encouragement. And he took a chance with the Apostle Paul and was willing to literally put his neck on the line, if you will, to see Paul rescued, encouraged. Multiple times he did that with the Apostle Paul. And then ultimately stood with John Mark when the Apostle Paul came and said, "Absolutely not, he's not going." And on the surface in the Acts chapter 15, it appears that Paul was right, because the Bible says in the church sanctioned, basically, Paul and Silas. And Barnabas, for all we know, drops off the scene. Until years later, when Paul was man enough to admit that Barnabas was right. "Bring John Mark. He's profitable me for the ministry." What John Mark would have been without Barnabas. What Paul would have been without Barnabas. And who knows how many people Barnabas did that for that we don't have recorded in Scripture. Because he was already named this before the chronicle in the book of Acts really picks up with his story. He already had a reputation. So tonight, you want to be a giver or a taker? Most of you have a desire to do what's right. And so I think most of your answer would be, "I want to be a giver." A more specific question is, have you been a giver or a taker? "Well, I'll just do what comes natural to me." You're probably going to be a taker then. You're probably going to be a taker. It's uncomfortable for us to go out of our comfort zone. Hello, that's what comfort is, you know, going outside of it. I know for some of you, in 2 weeks from now, to think about coming and making phone calls to people or knocking on doors of people you've never heard of scares you to death. I don't know what to say. Invite them to church. We're having a special day tomorrow. Would you come? That can't be difficult. You're like, "What if I goof it up?" What if you do? Okay, so you goofed it up. That's out of my comfort zone. I know. I know. But we have to be willing to do that which is not natural for us if we're going to be a person that's a giver. I'm sure it wasn't natural for Gaius day after day after day to give money and give food and give supplies to people. And we don't know how extensive it was, but it was well reported of in the church that he was this kind of man. And that would have been uncomfortable for him. And again, I'm grateful that I could preach a message like this and not be worried that we have a bunch of Diotrephes running around our church. I'm so grateful for that. But we don't need to get there. We need to be men and women who are like Gaius, who are like Demetrius, who are like these people who are carrying the gospel. And we're going to have to guard against that. As we come up to an event in 2 weeks, And I tell you, we've got an enemy that would love to hinder us. And if that can be dividing us amongst ourselves, then he'll do that. If he can discourage us, he'll do that. May we not do that. May we just pour into being a giver. May Jesus Christ be the one that's glorified at this ministry every time the doors are open. And as we minister throughout the week, may we be these type of people. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for the challenge that we have from the lives of these men, both positively and negatively. And Lord, may we be a giver and not a taker tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Just quickly want to say to you, if God's spoken to your heart, would you not stay in your seat tonight? Would you kneel at your chair? Would you come forward and say, God, I am going to be a giver? Maybe in just one area, God said, that's an area you need to be a giver. That's a specific thing that God's spoken to your heart about. I'm just going to ask the pianist to play quietly. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And if God's spoken to your heart, would you come tonight to the altar? Would you kneel there at your seat and say, God, would you help me to be a giver in this specific area? Would you quietly do that before the Lord?